And it is Mike Parsons and digital sports reporter Nick Lundberg. Nick, I gave you a little bit of a promotion last time we were on. But heading into week six, the Eagles finally got a primetime game. Before we go any further, how do you like this matchup, Eagles versus Giants?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about, on the first show we did, we talked about how the Eagles, you know, should be in more primetime games. Yeah. And, you know, I like that the fact that this is more of a rivalry matchup. You know, we've got some history between the Giants and the Eagles. Both fan bases really hate each other. Obviously, it feels like the Eagles have a big advantage here, even though they just lost to the Denver Broncos last week. Shout out to Dave Rieger, big Broncos fan who was on the show last week or last time we did the show. But yeah, I like this matchup. The Giants have obviously been playing better with rookie QB Jackson Dart. He looks, you know, focused and pretty solid out there. There's still a lot to work with that offense. They're, you know, obviously the return of Saquon Barkley is still a big thing in the Philly New York sports kind of discourse going on this week. But I do like the direction the Giants are headed. I just feel like the Eagles are just going to overpower them as they usually do.
Yeah, and going back to us kind of joking about how the Eagles have a hard time getting a primetime game. I mean, they played the Chiefs. They played the Rams. They played the Bucks. You know, three legit teams, Super Bowl rematch. And their first primetime game is against the Giants. But is Thursday night football? I mean, it's not quite on par with Sunday night football or Monday night football. I really feel like it's only considered primetime in like the season opener.
I agree with you. I think it now, I mean, it's obviously changed over the years, but now the fact that it's on Amazon Prime hasn't really helped. Mm. I mean, people have Amazon Prime, but that's still, for the average fan, I feel like it's kind of hard to access as right. A lot of the games are becoming.
It's because you have to exit out of whatever you're watching. You know, like I've got YouTube TV. And so, you know, you have to exit out of YouTube TV to Amazon Prime instead of just flipping between channels or, you know, having that multi-view.
Yeah, exactly. It makes it a little bit more difficult. And for me personally, I'm not the biggest fan of the Amazon Prime kind of experience. Mm-hmm. I think that their audio team needs a little bit of work. The broadcast compared to like maybe ESPN or NBC Sunday Night Football, you know, isn't on par with those national TV broadcasts. And Al Michaels is getting a little bit older.
Yeah.
And it's Thursday night. People got work on Friday.
Yeah.
Obviously, people have work on Tuesday, but Monday Night Football is more of a staple.
I will say, though, as a viewer, I would much rather power through a Friday than a Sunday night into Monday or Monday into Tuesday where you got the rest of the week you have to get through.
Oh, definitely, definitely. But yeah, like I said, Thursday night just doesn't bring the hype that these other games do.
And they're not always the best matchups either.
No, they're not. Last week was kind of an anomaly with the Niners and the Rams. Even though the Niners were without Brock Purdy, they still had Mac Jones.
Right.
And that was a great matchup. It was a home game for San Francisco, basically.
Mac Jones looking very Brock Purdy-ish with the San Francisco 49ers.
It looks like they could probably put, you know, one of us in the back there with Christian McCaffrey and anybody could score. But
put me in the Wildcat, or as we called it in middle school, the Wing T. But, you know, going back to you saying that you think that the Eagles are going to overpower the Giants, I mean, I think that was going to be the case anyway. But the Eagles, I mean, they're 4-1. They're defending Super Bowl champions. You know, they're in the hunt still for, you know, and I'm looking way ahead, you know, top seed in the NFC. And despite all of that, they decided they had to hold a players-only meeting because, you know, the offense and stuff is, it's not been where it should be. But I think the fact that they're 4-1 and tied for the number one seed in the NFC on top, and they decide now to have a players-only meeting to nip it in the bud before it gets even more out of control, I think that shows why they've been such a good franchise for so long and why guys like Jalen Hurts are such great leaders.
I definitely agree. I mean, a players-only meeting, when you hear that early in the season,
right?
I mean, you feel like you're like the Miami Dolphins or a team that's really, really struggling.
Right. Are they 1-4? No, they're 4-1. Okay.
But obviously, we've all heard about the troubles with A.J. Brown wanting more targets, wanting more touches. Devontae Smith kind of in the same boat, even though he's put up bigger stats than A.J. Brown has. But I feel like when you're in those players' shoes, obviously you want the ball, but I think that winning still trumps all, even though they have a Super Bowl. And so I feel like they're kind of making a bigger deal out of it than it really should be, especially when you're 4-1 and you're looking primed to make another, you know, trip to back to the top of the NFC.
Yeah, I think that number one, they were the superior team anyway. But now I think they're going to have a little chip on their shoulder. And I think Brian Daboll may be going from playing on Amazon Prime to driving for Amazon after this week.
I mean, New York fans, you know, their radio, you know, gets interesting, especially now with the Yankees, too.
Yeah.
So maybe him and Aaron Boone will be out there together.
Meanwhile, elsewhere in the NFL, I would just like to send prayers out to Joe Flacco, who now has to play behind that Bengals offensive line. I saw a meme that said putting 40-year-old Joe Flacco behind that offensive line, it should be considered elder abuse. And you know me, I love Joe Flacco because a middle-aged, athletic, unathletic white guy makes me feel seen. But, you know, I wish both the Bengals and Joe Flacco the best, but I think we're starting to see that this AFC North division, especially with you know, how the Ravens have been off to a slow start and how they're without Lamar Jackson, TBD. I didn't think I'd be saying this at the beginning of the season, but it looks like the Steelers with Aaron Rodgers might be running away with that division.
Yeah, it's an interesting, you know, trying to choose between one of the teams is very interesting. It's hard to count on the Steelers and Rodgers, you know, winning more than 9 games. Mike Tomlin loves to go 9-8 and lose in the first round.
Old 9-8 Tomlin.
Exactly. Especially now with Aaron Rodgers, who's kind of, you know, older and not the same as he used to be. And Baltimore basically doesn't have a defense, kind of like the Lions last year, but it's week 6. And obviously, like you said, Lamar Jackson's TBD. You never know. You don't know how healthy he's going to be for these next couple weeks and for the rest of the season. But I do really like what the Bengals did getting Joe Flacco. I was in Cincinnati for the Lions-Bengals game, and talking to fans, they like their team. They like Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Trey Hendrickson. Those are guys you can build around. But when you have Jake Browning out there throwing 3 picks, and I believe it was the first half, maybe Anzalone's pick might have come in the second half, but you can't make those mistakes with that kind of team, especially against the Detroit Lions. And Flacco's proven to, you know, be steady hand at QB. And in Cleveland, you know, Cleveland compared to Cincinnati, their offense, Cincinnati's weapons are just so much better.
Were you the one that started the Jared Goff chant down in Cincinnati?
I won't lie. I did hear it, and I wanted to join in, but from the press box.
Right. You got to maintain a professional demeanor.
Yeah. But it was definitely a sea of blue down there, and it really mixed well with the orange.
Right. They go together, I guess, accessorize. We got to take a quick break. I will say this, though. It is kind of tough to figure out who the dominant teams are so far. You know, you thought it was the Bills, and they lost to the Patriots. And the Patriots aren't terrible, but you thought the Bills would take care of them. If I were in that elimination league, one of those elimination leagues, I would have been out the week that the Giants beat the Chargers, because the Chargers look like that they were a Super Bowl contender, and then they lost to the Giants. And I mean, even the Lions, you know, they're lost to the Packers. The Packers don't look like they're the juggernaut we thought they were going to be. So, you know, every team kind of has a head scratching loss, even if they're 4-1.
Yeah, I made this bet. I saw the Super Bowl odds, I believe it was 2 weeks ago, and I saw that the Lions and the Bills were at the top. And I, even though the Packers lost week one, is hard to judge, especially now looking at where they're at. And obviously, if you're a Bills fan or on the Bills, you'd never want to lose a divisional game at home. But it was a pretty close game regardless. And, you know, Stephon Diggs had, you know, he really wanted to
stick it to his old team.
Exactly. Yeah. Make a point. So I'm sticking with my original Super Bowl prediction a couple weeks ago. I'm still going with Lions-Bills.
I mean, I think that's still a pretty safe bet. All right, we got to take a quick break. It's Mike Parsons, Nick Lundberg on WJR. And it is Mike Parsons and WJR digital sports reporter Nick Lundberg. We are just minutes away from Thursday Night Football, Eagles-Giants. And, of course, Nick, we got to get into Lions coming up, but I gotta say, you think the Tigers take game 5 tomorrow in Seattle?
I mean, you gotta love Scooble going back on the mound. Obviously, game 2 didn't go the way that Scooble wanted or the team wanted, but you know, you love that chance to get kind of that revenge game for him, especially since he went to Seattle University's. He was very familiar with the area and doing it against, you know, MVP candidate, big dumper, Cal Raleigh and, and the squad they've got some really good players. And
yeah.
He's definitely going to be fired up. I've been like this the whole series. I could go either way. Yeah. Honestly, the Tigers offense is just so hit or miss for me.
Right. Well, and here's the thing, you know, Skubal did keep up his end of the bargaining game too. He pitched pretty well. It's just like you said, I feel like the Tigers are always on a streak. They're either on a hot streak or a cold streak. And you know, luckily yesterday starting that fifth inning, they went on a hot streak. So if this Tigers team can, you know, keep even half of that momentum and Skubal keeps up his end of the bargain, I think the Tigers take it.
Yeah, I think so. They're probably going to throw George Kirby, who did have the Tigers number in that first game. But, I mean, what we saw out of Javier Baez, and if Riley Green can come alive and some of those other guys, Spencer Torkelson had a big hit in that loss with Skubal on the mound. So you really need, you know, your core to step up and play like they should be, play like a team that was leading the American League for all that time in the beginning of the summer.
And here's the thing. Obviously, I want the Tigers to win the series. But if they don't, I'd be fine with the Blue Jays and Vlad Guerrero. Did you see him with Big Poppy on Fox? Big Poppy and Vlad Guerrero kept going, "The Yankees lose." And you just saw Jeter and A-Rod sitting there wishing they were anywhere else. So, you know, that made me a Vlad Guerrero Jr. fan. All right. To the Lions now. Of course, they've got the Chiefs coming up in primetime this Sunday. And before we go any further, though, Nick, what is this report that Dan Campbell says coming out of ESPN is BS?
Well, it seems like that, from according to Adam Schefter for ESPN, that the Lions have contacted the NFL in regards to chop blocks and kind of illegal cut blocks made to Aiden Hutchinson over, you know, the course of the regular season. And Dan Campbell said that, you know, the team did no such thing, that it was BS, bogus, whatever you want to call it. But, I mean, watching the games with Aiden Hutchinson, you can obviously see the concern from where, because teams know that this is one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, and they're sending two, maybe even three guys. I mean, Cleveland, I'm pretty sure, had three people on him at one point. And so there's definitely times where it feels like that the blocks, you know, were a little, you know, maybe they need to cut it out a little bit, especially considering what the injury was with him last year. But at the end of the day, it's football. And, I mean, it's up to the refs to make the decision on whether it's illegal or not. And if they get it right in real time is, you know, up to them. So I'm not entirely sure. I'd guess I'd have to go back and look at the film to really see.
Well, I'll take Coach at his word, but I think one of the games in question was the game against the Ravens. And I do remember seeing a time or two where they went a little low on him. And he did, I think that was the game he came up limping a little bit. Not the one where he had the wind knocked out of him, but where he limped over to the sideline and people were worried. So, but you're right. I don't know if we're more sensitive to that just because of what happened to him or if it's legit. I will say this. You know, I feel like he is close to the pace that he was last year. He got hurt in, what, week six last year, I think?
I believe so.
He had 7.5 sacks. We're going into week six right now. He's got 5 sacks. He would have 6 if it wasn't for that Terrion Arnold penalty. I think it was defensive holding when Hutch sacked Browning in the end zone for the safety. So he's right there. And I think last I heard, he is one of the favorites to win Defensive Player of the Year. So I feel like Hutch is if he's not back to pre-injury form, he's pretty close.
Yeah, it definitely seems that way. Obviously, that week one game could have been used. You know, he could have probably had a sack or two in that one as well. But, you know, he's still kind of getting his legs under him, even though.
And I feel like he's a slow starter, but a strong finisher.
I definitely agree. And, you know, he's been very. Against the Browns, he had 2 sacks and a strip, and one of them was a strip sack. And he recorded one against Jake Browning, even though, like you said, the safety was taken away. So he definitely has taken that, you know, step to, like you said, if he's not fully healthy, he's pretty much right there.
So, like I said, Lions are traveling to Arrowhead this Sunday night, and I gotta say, I'm still not sure what this Chiefs team is. You know, they're 2-3, but I still feel like they're probably going to be there in the playoffs making a run. And look, the end of the game against Jacksonville, which I think Jacksonville is a legit good team. I think Liam Cohen has recovered nicely from that terrible Duval that he did at his press conference. But that, you know, where that final play where Trevor Lawrence, he fell over twice and Chris Jones was picking daisies and Trevor Lawrence scored. That was a pretty pathetic play. However, it looked like in that game, Patrick Mahomes and the offense remembered that they were Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs offense. And I got to say, the Lions defense in that second half made the Bengals look like a legitimate offense. I mean, 21 points in the fourth quarter, and I cannot remember the last time I saw a Lions defensive back get beaten as badly as Amik Robertson did on that second Jamar Chase touchdown. And look, I agree with Dan Campbell. I'm not gonna feel bad about the loss, but I'm not going to feel bad about the win, but I don't feel great about the win. And if they play the way that they played in the fourth quarter, it's going to be a tough day against the Chiefs.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the Chiefs, even if despite their record, they're going to play you tough. Mm-hmm. They've got probably the best quarterback still in the league in Patrick Mahomes. They've got good skill position players. They've got a solid defense. Like we mentioned, Chris Jones, even though on that one play, you know, wasn't at his best, but we know what he's capable of.
And I think he's embarrassed by that, and I think he's going to come out like he shot out of a cannon this week.
I feel like their whole team is probably going to be like that. And they remember 2023 when the Lions came in there and really established themselves as one of the best teams in the NFL in that game. And so I think it's definitely going to be close. I'm giving the edge to Detroit right now just because of what we've seen this year. Mm-hmm. But you definitely don't want to take, you know, who you're playing for granted. And they didn't play great last week. I mean, they won the game and they, for the majority, stayed healthy.
Right.
But you don't want to take it. You want to clean some stuff up, as Dan Campbell likes to say.
Yeah. And obviously I don't know what Taylor Decker's status is, but his presence was definitely missed. There were 4 sacks.
I believe so. Yeah.
And look, Trey Hendrickson is an all pro, but you know, Chris, they've got some all pros on that Chiefs defense as well. So we'll see. But I'm like you. Look, I know the Lions can't go undefeated, but I don't see a game this season where I'm going to pick against them.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I mean, coming in, I was a little bit more on the fence about that. I still think the game at Philadelphia is probably going to be the most likely loss they suffer this year, even though it would be amazing to go into Philly with those fans and shut them up. But
go boo Santa Claus.
And I mean, you've got Green Bay at home. You want that game kind of as a revenge game. Mm-hmm. You've got Dallas at home. Obviously, they don't look too strong.
I'm
right
not afraid
now.
Of Dallas at home, but I see what you're saying.
Exactly.
Jerry's World is tough to play.
Yeah, so you're gonna have some good matchups coming up. But I mean, like I'm with you. I don't really see a guaranteed loss on this schedule going forward.
All right, enjoy, I almost said Broncos. You got Dave Rieger on the brain. Enjoy Giants-Eagles Thursday Night Football. For Nick Lundberg, WJR, digital sports reporter, I'm Mike Parsons. See you next time.